Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting not from a lush and lavish whatever I say every week, but instead from multiple undisclosed locations, except for Matt Bassler, who lives at 319. Mm-hmm. We are Real Spoilers. It's episode, hang on, where's my Word document that tells me, 724, Mithrigan.
Mithrigan. Yeah.
I think that's how it's right. Pronounced, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. It's, yeah.
I just don't you usually do a silly name at the beginning, usually say it wrong or something. But.
No, if you listen last week, we say correct titles now. We had The Menu. That's now true. We have Mithrigan. So.
Well, what they don't tell you is there have been two other Megans before this. We just haven't seen them.
This is
the third in the trilogy. We just had no idea.
Like Star Wars. It works so well for Star Wars.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, that is true, though, right? Because it's Model 3 blah, 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 blah. So yes. What did they call
Bob?
Megan and Tugan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'd like to know the other ones. And also, if they make a sequel to this, which they sure want to, and the box office, it looks like they may, if they don't call it Megan with a 2, but then it's like M3gan, and then the sequel would be M2gan. So, like, it just doesn't... They didn't think this out. That's the problem.
Blumhouse dropped the ball.
Maybe 2 was perfect, and it wouldn't have gone off the rails, but they were like, yeah, but... We got to do it one more time so it looks like it says Megan.
The hubris of man.
Although I will say that we only see that logo treatment in the film advertisements. We don't see it in the movie itself, right?
That's true. Yeah, they do call her Megan without the 3.
No, they call her Megan with the 3. It's in the movie. She's the Model 3 generative android. So,
but when they put out the promo material, it's just Megan. There's
It's 3 lines. Like 3 Roman numerals turned sideways. So it's never an E.
Good lord!
It just looks, you know, it looks more
that
like
does
it.
That does sound like something corporate would do.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Maybe the next. Maybe the first one had a different name. It was like Tula.
Cool.
Don't trademark Real Spoilers. Don't stop giving away ideas.
So, anyway, let's go around so I should say we're all virtual this week, not because of COVID, but because I'm out of town. So I am in Norwalk, Connecticut, visiting a college.
I love Norwalk.
Attend. I thought you were just scouting out houses for all that, spend all that clip out money on.
Yeah, moving to Connecticut.
Yeah.
So let's go around the virtual table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
Is Matt a guest or is he in the rotation now? I don't know.
I figure he'd be in the rotation.
Yeah, I feel like you're in the rotation.
Yeah.
But we're all in different places on each other's screens. We don't know what the... It's me, Matt. I'm Matt.
Who are you?
You know, he did that so poorly, I don't think he should be in the rotation anymore.
Yeah, you just got if kicked was, out. You're a guest now. Sorry.
Your guest, yeah. If he was worthy, he would have just known.
Now you gotta wait, and then when Tom will introduce you, so don't... Now that you're back to being a guest, you just
okay,
gotta wait.
Okay, I won't talk.
But this is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us, a very frequent guest of the show, Matt F. Bassler.
Hey.
He's part and of the gold, the host gold. Of the Real Spoilers Patreon.
Yeah.
Well, that's unrelated, though.
And former regular Real Spoilers rotation member.
Yeah.
But
brief but beautiful run.
He's part of the gold jacket or the green jacket club. Like, that's
he's like a cone. He's like the Conan O'Brien of being in the rotation of Real Spoilers. He
that's
had it for like
great.
3 minutes. Yeah.
Yes.
Dang.
So
don't worry, he turned out okay.
So before we get too involved in things, let's do some shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. I hear tell that we might
have a new
review.
We do. This is a 5-star review from Mike Stallone, no relation.
Oh.
And the title is Always Worth a Listen. I've been a listener for about a year now and realized I haven't left a review. First off, I would highly recommend this podcast. The dynamics between the hosts are really entertaining and fun to listen to. They do a great job of going through the movies and they tend to have a variety of entertaining stories. Well, some of us do.
Ooh, hang on. Which one of us are you calling out?
Whoever. I'll let you figure it out. It's like the... The firing squad where somebody's got a bullet, we just don't know
right.
Yeah, yeah, but he's not in the rotation anymore, so it doesn't really matter.
That's good. Yeah.
There can be some unrelated tangents like that one, but I tend to like these, and I think that just goes to show how close-knit the hosts are. Every so often, I watch a somewhat recent movie and get excited that I can now go back and listen to the review. Matt, did you leave this review? Is this you? However, there are definitely movies that I don't bother watching because I know they will be bad, and I will get more enjoyment from the podcast itself. If you love movies, you should absolutely check this podcast out.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mike Stallone, no relation.
That's right.
And
that was very nice.
It was very nice. You can also... join the League of Show Sharers. Oh, I should do the Facebook stuff. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And if you would like, what's very helpful, if you want to share an episode in your Facebook or Twitter feed, we would like you a little extra. So people who were kind enough to share an episode last week. And we have a ton of new show sharers this week.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
For whatever that means, like a lot. So
wow.
I don't know what happened, but I think
judging
we're
by, Elon,
judging
we're
by our downloads from the month prior, we don't know either.
Yeah, we're finally famous. So so here we go. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week: Lane LeVanway, Chris Falls, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Matt Reedy, Julianne Jordan, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Librarian Cynthia, Katie Brackett. Which we might need to have like a Brad Hyans wife role. Well,
yeah, right.
But, what are the chances of him finding someone, right?
Sorry, Brad.
Yeah.
And your then, girlfriend who I think that you have.
Well, have we ever seen her in real life?
You know what? Saying. That's a valid point.
Yeah.
I did go to a movie one time with someone who purported to be the woman, so I mean, okay. I don't know if that was legit or hired for appearances, but I mean, supposedly.
And that movie was Phantom Menace. That's how long ago it was. So. Anyway, coming up next on our list is, oddly enough, Brad Hyan. So there we go. Jason Petrillo, I hope I'm saying that right. Joshua Connolly, Andrew Stovall, Ryan Burdick, Rich Foster, Justin Equiville, Patrick Johnson. Those are all...
That's awesome, man.
Brand new League of Show Sharers. So thank God Dan's not here to have to write songs. He would have. If we were still doing songs for new League of Show Sharers, Dan would be exhausted.
This would be like a bonus episode. We'd be like, listen to the 724B for the songs.
Yeah. He would have quit a second time.
Yeah.
What did I do to not get in the list?
He's not reading yet.
Huh?
Yeah. He's not done.
We're not done.
Oh, he's not done. I'm complaining
to people that are new.
Yeah. So he's so touchy.
Oh my god!
I
could
have really glad we don't have him in the rotation.
He's like, I wasn't even on that episode. Of course, I get my name read.
So here we go. Ralph Tribble, Josh Rosen, Gabriel Lugo, Christopher Rex, Heather Sachs, Matt Bassler.
Yes!
I'm removing the F just because of your interjection.
That's now, you're dead naming me.
Is he related? Is he related to Matt F. Bosler?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No relation.
No relation.
He's also not related to Sylvester Stallone.
Oh. But oddly enough, second cousins.
Right. Yes. Cinema Recall, Lele Sheeragan, Evelyn TAA, Matt Naglia, Chris Williams, Spoiler Piece Theater, Dissect That Film, In Session Film, Ryan Terry, Geek to Me Radio, Mike and Oscar, Invasion of the Remake, Nostalgia Cast, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much, everyone.
That's awesome.
The power everyone of the menu.
Yeah. Everyone except Matt F. Bosler.
Maybe people are really just searching for what to eat that night.
Oh, I like that. That's a good point.
Episode.
Whatever gets a share.
And I'm saying, yeah, we'll mean, then they go, oh, well, here's a podcast. Maybe I'll just listen to this podcast. They like it. They share it. I'm not trying to say that. Oh, enjoy it. I'm saying that's why they found it. That's how I look for food. I type in menu.
Into Apple Podcasts.
Just menu.
See what comes up. Spotify. That always works out. I did want to give a formal apology to Cody Mastel, our Patreon subscriber. Uh-huh. Who messaged us right before he started listening to our episode on the menu and just said, before I listen, I want to say that this movie is dog bacock, and if Joe somehow finds a way to defend it, I'm out.
Oh, I found a way, it wasn't just me.
Said, maybe just skip this episode. He said, are you kidding me? I can't wait to yell at my phone and listen. You guys are ridiculous.
That actually also sounds like something that Matt F. Bosler would write.
It does.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is he every single listener of ours?
I mean, sure.
Sorry, guys. I hate to break it.
It would explain a lot.
It would explain a lot. That's true.
He's back there with he's doing the Freddy Got Fingered piano, wires on different keyboards. And he's just typing them all and controlling them. The puppet master.
So finally, we should probably talk about Patreon. Patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month, you get bonus content and you get even more Matt F. Bosler.
Ooh, how much more?
The F. I got the F. It's my podcast. Me and Joe host it. It's great.
You know how much more you get on Patreon? He's Matt G. Bosler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That much more.
And we've got, it's exciting over there. We got a really early start on Christmas movies this year.
We decided to jumpstart it.
It's New Year's Evil.
12 months, yeah. Did you listen to that, Matt, where Kevin thought that I made up the title New Year's Evil?
No.
Can you believe that Kevin gave me so much credit that I would think of something clever to say?
What a dink.
That's funny.
Out of my room.
Yeah. I thought it was very funny. He's like, oh, no, you came up with this thing. I was like, that's a movie.
No idea. Well, that's why we had to have our horror expert and aficionado, Matt F. Bosler, on the show.
That's right.
He's so dedicated. You might remember that when we did the Saw, he went back and watched all the Saws. He's actually seen the first two Megan movies.
Yeah.
That's how committed he is.
Yeah. Okay. They were very loosely connected.
They were who's the guy who was in the original Meet the Parents? It's never been seen. That there's an original Meet the Parents.
I don't remember his name. I know Emo Phillips was
Emo
in
Phillips.
It, but it wasn't an Emo Phillips movie. No.
Matt F. Bosler is our Emo Phillips. He has the two Megans that never were released, but he's got them on reel-to-reel. That's the only way we can watch them.
Jason Blum bought them so that he could make M3 in and shelve them.
Yeah.
I think the first one is Lucy.
Oh,
and then
no.
It's just all names.
It's all, one,
you know?
It's all ones.
Perfect.
Yes.
So can you give us a quick recap of what happened in the first two, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. They're trying to make this doll, and it's just unsuccessful. Nothing really eventful happens.
Does Fisher Stevens dress in a somewhat problematic?
Somewhat. Very problematic.
Yeah, right. And do a problematic accent on top of it?
Well, hold on. Catch me up.
That was a short circuit reference.
Why are we talking? What? I missed a connecting thread somewhere.
I was just thinking of other robot movies.
Okay.
Building robots.
There it is. Building robots. Johnny Five is a robot.
I can see how that would get confusing and talking about the first two movies about someone building robots, how that wouldn't really.
How Johnny Five would not come up at all.
And, of course, when I watch that, I think, what a tribute to a culture, another culture. This is beautiful. I love this.
So, you know what? So Short Circuit is actually Megan 1. Megan 2? Is actually just the robot from Rocky IV that says "Happy Birthday, Polly."
Oh yeah,
it's actually Real Steel. Real Steel is the bringing it back.
Yeah,
poor Mike Stallone.
Oh, because Real Steel is closer to that Bob or whatever, right?
When Bob stood up, I was like, oh yeah, okay. They just took that from Real Steel. Got it.
With the hand controls and everything like that.
Yes, the whole shebang. As I'm watching this movie, I was like, this feels odd, like a weird companion piece to Malignant.
Well, do you know why that is?
Get
I
together.
Was just going to tell you why that was. It's written by the same person.
Yes. So
yeah.
I don't see.
So he's getting
Gabriel.
Better.
She's getting better.
She's getting better. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Say it, Matt.
They have to. Gabriel, Megan, team it up.
Well, did you hear the news? So last month it was announced that James Wan and Blumhouse are looking to combine their two companies. That's awfully coincidental after the release of Malignant and then now this release of Megan, and they want to join companies.
Oh, man.
It's
New
coming.
Line spying
it's so
Friday
weird.
The 13th. It's happening.
Malignant.
Malignant. Holy cow. Stop giving them ideas, because that's going to happen. They're going to steal it.
That's awesome.
This is time stamped.
Yeah, right. But it is, if you were to watch those like back to back, they would make a pretty spot on like double feature, because it does kind of have like the same elements that Malignant had, but I think this one was better.
They both have the element.
This one was better. Joe's right.
No. Matt, I need backup here.
Well, here's my issue, I guess, with both of these movies. The whole time I'm going, how funny are these supposed to be?
I totally agree with you.
Well, this one seemed like it was more of a comedy than, I mean.
I would agree. It opens with a joke, right? It opens with a fake commercial, which was so well done, the people in my theater wouldn't stop talking during it.
I was like, so, killing the parents is a joke to you?
No, it opens with that
about
fake
commercial. I forgot about that commercial.
Yeah.
It is. I will say that is the drawback to this movie. That is one of the negatives, is it is PG-13, and sometimes when Blumhouse does the PG-13, it walks a really thin line.
Hellfest, also written by Akila Cooper.
And that's rated R. But also Hellfest
that one
is
was rated R?
I think so. No?
And a waste of a waste of a great concept.
I thought that was the PG. The reason why it like didn't go as hard was because it
was. Is that the Haunted House one?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I was mistaken. What's the one that didn't they do a more of a PG-13 like carnivalish?
Haunt? There was a haunt movie called Haunt.
Maybe I'm thinking of that. There was some PG-13 that I may be mistaken where I was like, this is just, I don't know. But you're right. I mean, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And
Blumhouse has figured that out, right? Like this is kind of their bread and butter.
They know how to make money.
They make these PG-13 horror movies, and for the most part, they do kind of walk that line where it's like, okay, I could see where if you take this like one, turn it like one dial to the louder, you get a rated R. Mm-hmm. This one, it's straight up PG-13. Like there's nothing in this movie. Like Bella wanted to go see it, and I was after watching the trailer, I was like, nah, I'll go watch it first.
I just want to talk about that. What is this weird thing where like they marketed this to Gen Z? Like, why are kids wanting to see this? Because she dances in the commercial? It's just a weird thing that I'm not really in tune with. But apparently, like, this movie made a ton of money and people keep talking about it being a Gen Z TikTok horror movie. I'm like, what?
I don't think that's outside of the realm of truth, right? Like,
I guess there's
kind of a
tech element.
That's what I was thinking.
But it's clearly a like an anti
very
tech,
much so
message. So I don't. There's an iPad in it,
but
I think they marketed this. I almost think they must have marketed it more aggressively than we think. Not just, I mean, it makes sense to Gen Z. If you're going to make a PG-13, then go after teenagers.
Right.
But I will say, I was at dinner last night and with a group of probably 10 or 15 people, and there were a couple people that were easily in their 50s, and they were saying they've been seeing ads for it nonstop.
It shows up on everything. So I wonder if it's because it's – so NBC – I see it on Peacock. Like anything you would watch on Peacock.
Sure, it's Universal,
ads,
Blumhouse.
That makes total sense. And then they must have bought like all kinds of... I don't know how you buy advertising on YouTube. Like, you know, in the Super Bowl, you're like, I'll take 3 minutes here and you pay X amount of dollars. Like with YouTube, do you just pay like...
It's just targeted like Google.
You can
Google.
Target. Okay. You can target it based on demos, or you can target it based... You can say, I want to run... You know, if you have, you know, like I do it for concerts. So if I know I have John Michael Montgomery coming, which I do, I'll be like, run it in front of John Michael Montgomery videos. But then I can also say, run it in front of Tracy Lawrence videos and run it in front of Alan Jackson videos. And, you know,
Sneaky way to promote that show, Tom. The bill will be in the mail.
Yeah, because our listeners give two shits about John Michael Montgomery.
Joe, you probably saw it because they put in guys that like the horror movies.
So you saw it a bunch too, then, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we already mentioned that this is written by Akilah Schaffer, who did Hellfest and then the masterpiece Malignant. And so this is her third film that she's written. It's produced by Jason Blum. And so it's got the Blumhouse, you know, $12 million budget. It's already made $15 million, which most of that came from Friday. So it's doing the Blumhouse thing where it's January. They dropped this horror movie with all this marketing. It's already made back its budget, you know, easily within the weekend. So it's, you know, we see this time and time again, and we talk about James Wan. You know, we talk about who are the people in horror right now, and it's Jason Blum and it's James Wan. If they combine forces, it's like these two know exactly what they're doing, how to reach modern horror lovers and audiences, and they're getting them to the theater. One, they did it during the pandemic, and two, they can do it in
January. What did they do during the pandemic?
They just got people to horror movies. Just got people
I see
to go see
I'm with you.
Movies,
with you.
No matter like horror audiences, as we know, love to go see these movies in the theater.
Yeah,
and so they've
and
got the
horror
right
audiences, as we know, are COVID deniers. So they'll go see movies during the pandemic.
Well, if I could just what it is, Tom.
Save it for different, the pizza podcast.
We're back
different
on Liberty
podcast. Different podcast. Sorry.
Here, you know what? Horror movies fans, we know, they just like to do their own research. That's all.
I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying.
I feel like with the recent events on Twitter, maybe we should take the pizza part out of it, just to err on the side of caution. I don't need any like Hungarian authorities breaking in and arresting me.
It's always pizza. Well, it's always pizza.
It's all Pizzagate. Pizza.
Yeah. Here's another way to tackle that. Don't break the law.
There it is. See, that's, you know what? I keep. Yep, you're absolutely
always
right.
Skipping past, you know, part one and going to two, three, four. But really, there's just that first
there's
part.
Not, really that first
not
part.
Unlike Megan, which starts with part three.
Exactly.
That's true.
But this is directed by Gerard Johnstone, and I don't know if you're familiar with. He's a TV director. He directed one film before this called Housebound in 2014.
Oh,
is that
Housebound's
familiar?
Actually kind of good. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
I think it's a found footage one. I think.
Okay.
Wait,
gotcha.
Did he predict the pandemic?
Yeah. Right. See,
he knew. He knew.
It's all coming back. Get your.
Oh no, no, no! I know what this is. Yeah, this is not bad. This is all right.
Okay. So, and then I don't know. I don't know the Jackie Brown Diaries from before that. Terry Teo is another series and a director also of the new Legends of Monkey in 2018.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with those, but
I wonder if Blumhouse and James Wan, if they combine, like by our powers combined. If they start to take like that Marvel approach that they, you know, they'll just moneyball it. Well, they'll find a guy or gal that can just direct a movie. Like, I think they did that with the third Conjuring. I think like that wasn't James Wan. Like, he didn't do that. He brought, I think it's Gary Doberman, I think is the guy's name. But like, he has these people that have worked with him throughout all with the Annabelle stuff or the Saw stuff, like Lee Whannell is kind of a big deal with.
Oh,
Upgrade.
I didn't realize. Do you know James Wan has a co-writing credit on this movie? I guess
I did
they
not
come
know
as
that.
A package. I guess Akilah Cooper and James Wan are writing partners because, I mean, with Malignant, that would make sense. But
I thought James Wan's wife did that.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, but he directed Malignant, and
yes.
And I thought had either a story credit or something to go along with that. But I didn't realize he was involved in this. So that makes the partnership make more sense. Like, they're working together on stuff. This is
That's good.
This
good
is produced by both Jason Blum and Blumhouse, but also James Wan has a producer credit and a co-writing credit. So clearly they work well together. They're primed to keep releasing horror movies that are successful. Like this thing, I could not believe it when I messaged Tom earlier because I was like, how much did this thing make? And I know it's a Blumhouse movie and whatever, but it said Friday it made $12 million, which was the budget. So in January, that blows my mind with Avatar out. Not that Avatar is not making money, but it's just people will show up to this movie in droves.
You make a horror movie and you market it the right way, people are going to show up.
Bingo. And that's where I think Blumhouse comes in, right? Their marketing is really, really good. Where another horror movie, it might make a couple million and people, horror fans, want to turn up to see it, but there's something different in his formula that really appeals to people. And I didn't see the advertising, but like Tom said, people have been talking about it. They've seen it. I've seen them tweeting about it, and I hear people talking about Megan. And so clearly it's reached all sorts of different demographics, and they showed up.
That weird dancing clip is the one that I kept
seeing.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. People keep talking about that. And that is 2 seconds of the end of the movie that happens.
I read an interview or saw an article or something that was like, the dancing scene was almost cut from the film. And it's like one of those interviews where I'm like, that is no way. That is not true. Why are you saying that?
Don't you think that like they filmed that because they're like, that's a trailer clip? Like,
yes,
some things they
and
have
they
to
choreographed
film
a dance. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, a dance that doesn't make any sense in context, right? Like, that whole scene is her chasing the CEO of this corporation down with like a paper cutter blade and just starts dancing for no reason.
And I think that's also the comedy, though, because she's standing there like she's one of the Shining twins at the end of the hallway, and then she starts doing the TikTok dance. So you're like,
I feel like the actress was just bored on set and they happened to capture it on film and they were like, keep it,
go with it.
Let's do it.
That's fine.
But it is
also real quick, Kevin, circling back to the TV shows, the reason you hadn't heard of them is because they're foreign.
Okay.
I think he's a New Zealand director, so I think
okay. Nice.
So this is better than Malignant.
No,
I said it is. I'll stick with it.
He is accurate.
But it does have this weird sense of humor that I don't think anybody else in my theater got except for me, because there are parts where I'm it's supposed to be funny. I thought it was supposed to be funny.
Or maybe you're like Max Cady.
Also
Problem
true.
Child 2.
Right. Yeah. Or like Ricky from Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
That's
I'm
going to
go with the movie people have actually seen.
Matt gets that one.
I was just thinking about the Problem Child movies the other day and how I have not seen those in years. Are those on digital? Do you have those, Tom? I need to buy those.
I've never seen a Problem Child movie because they look so dumb. And so I never watched any of them.
I mean, I rented those on VHS as a kid. Those were a staple. So for me, that's a big nostalgia thing.
That is
thing.
An interesting
so,
generational gap. Like it doesn't happen often between me and Kevin, but that is one where I had no interest in those movies whatsoever. None.
Is it okay to call a child repulsive if they're an adult by now?
I think that's fair.
Okay.
As in I heard what you said, or okay as in it is okay to do that?
I edit this, so I'll judge. Go ahead.
Okay. I can't watch those movies because that kid's repulsive.
He is terrible in every sense. I totally agree with you.
He's a problem child.
He's great in that role, though, right? You're supposed to hate Junior. Like, he's supposed to be the worst. That's Michael Oliver.
But then in the end, I think you're supposed to go, well, maybe he's just a child.
He was the
Melissa
McCarthy
child.
Of his time.
He's horrible. Like, I don't think you're supposed to ever think. I think you're supposed to think, like, Gilbert Gottfried is worse for trying to do whatever he does. But, you know,
I think I kind of side with Gilbert Gottfried in some of those movies. Like, no. Well, that tracks.
As you get older, that's just like the more and more I watch The Grinch, I'm like, do you see how much noise those Whos are making? Like, those would be awful neighbors.
Yeah, could you guys shut up, please?
Like,
jeez.
Seriously.
It is.
So the Problem Child movies are available on streaming if anybody cares. Interestingly enough, I didn't realize this. It's directed by Adam Sandler's like best friend, his go-to director. Dennis Dugan, so he directed Grown Ups and Don't Mess with the Zohan and
he
all
is
that stuff.
Batting zeros.
Yeah, you know not, what? You want to compare houses?
No, I sure don't. That's true. Yeah. His bank account is in the is definitely batting 1,000.
He's a working director.
He also directed Happy Gilmore. And okay. So yeah, I mean, you know, I always recognize him. Like, he was gonna be a thing. Like, he was. Disney had a movie called The Unidentified Flying Oddball that I saw when I came out in 1979, and he was like the wacky star of that movie.
Oh, really?
It's gonna be a thing. Yeah.
Wow.
He was the star of the movie.
He was the star of the movie. I used to see him on sitcoms and stuff all the time.
Interesting. You know who you won't see on sitcoms? Megan.
Way to bring it back around.
Like, yeah. Hey, the main character, the lady, what's her name?
Alice Williams.
Megan.
That's her. This aunt or whatever.
Her name is Gemma.
Played by Alice Williams.
I wasn't sure. Is she supposed to not be a very good caregiver to this child?
She's awful.
Yeah. Figure it out. Yeah, this movie, I feel like they were like, okay, we gotta tell the we want to get on with this. So how can we show that she's not good at taking care of a kid in 3 minutes? And they just make her in. Has she never met this child? Yeah.
That's kind of how it felt, right? But they, I guess,
why
the sister,
didn't they? Why
the sister
wasn't
does
it,
say something about that?
Yeah, like she's. But why wasn't it just that there is no other family and I've never met her?
But right. Also, why did they even make them have met before? Because you're right. It's like they had zero connection. And Gemma is so self-involved with her work and clearly has no interest in kids and didn't
Seems
see them very often.
Perhaps they're never seen a child before.
I know. It was so bizarre. And she's so cold towards her. And obviously the character is written to be this tech person who, you know, her whole house is controlled, this smart house, and she's developing all these robots.
Oh, what a bitch. A smart house.
But I mean, she's
which is true.
Super...
I mean, that's what they're trying to say, but it's like, right, so what, man? I have an Alexa.
Welcome to 2023.
I know. But it's like, you know, super techie, involved in like antisocial, more technology centered. And so she doesn't know how to care for this child. But I agree with you, Matt. I just, if they had never met and she had to live with her, it could have been the same scenario.
Because they start the grandparents subplot almost, but it's
It's like they throw that grandparents subplot in and then it goes nowhere.
Well, it doesn't go nowhere because that's why the child protective services or therapist lady keeps showing up. Okay. So that's what's driving that. And I took that, and I don't know if there was a line of dialogue or it was just my interpretation. I took it as that was the dad's parents.
It is.
Yeah. So like the dad's parents are like, we want her.
And I think that they're kind of weird is what she says on the phone.
Oh, really?
I think so. But it seems to me like she would be like, oh yeah, go live with them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why was she so against the dad's parents having her if she has zero interest in seeing her? She promised the sister, if anything happened to her, I will look after her. I guess
In the beginning, when they're coming to the house, her sister died yesterday?
Yeah. It's really quick.
It's so crazy.
I mean, she's still got scars on her face.
I know. You know? And she's worrying about a coaster. Like, wouldn't she be kind of in a, like, wow, my sister's dead?
That's what I'm saying. That is why you know the woman is terrible, because she's just like, oh, I got to make this robot.
I honestly wonder if there's like a deleted scene where they established that her and the sister were estranged.
Because
I had the same thought. Like, she did not seem to give two squirts of piss about her dead sister.
What was on her calendar when it's like dinner with, was that
on
the sister's
calendar?
Yeah.
What? I think she was supposed to have dinner with the sister.
That's what I thought, which seems to show that they were
close. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Then the therapist says, were you close with your sister? And she goes,
it's weird.
She says yes, but she doesn't sell it.
Yeah, right. That's very nonchalant. Yeah.
I think this is part of the problem I have with this movie is that they spend way too much time on focusing on the family dynamic and the loss and the tragedy and all that, when I wanted more of a crazy movie like Malignant. And this movie does not get crazy until the third act.
Once See, the third- I... I like the fact that they focused on that and that it kept the story somewhat grounded. I like the fact that they didn't just go, because if they'd have went your direction, it would have just been a Chucky knockoff.
That's exactly
right?
which is what I thought
we were going to get. So I was really pleasantly surprised that they found a way to make another murder doll movie that wasn't just Chucky with a vagina.
This is a child's play. You think they gave that thing a vagina?
I think they absolutely gave that thing a vagina.
If you make a realistic AI doll, I think we know where the real money's at.
Yeah. This is a children's toy. We are not going into this.
You think the corporate overlords weren't like, hey man, people are going to try to fuck this thing.
How much?
That was my first. I can't believe nobody asked the question. And I think it's because it's a PG-13 movie. Because my first thought was like, somebody's going to want to fuck this thing.
Is it Ronnie Chang? Is that the guy's name that plays David?
The CEO.
The CEO. He seems like the kind of guy, like the character at least, is the kind of character to be like, there are some alternative applications
for this thing.
Is it more or less than a Tesla? And they're just like,
I mean, here's your business model. It's $10,000 for the toy. It's $20,000 for a vagina, right? Like,
with like interchangeable parts.
So right. I just wish there was more of a balance between something like a Chucky movie. I just mean this movie took the first two acts to get going, and the whole premise of this, the advertising that people know of, is there's this murder doll out there, and it takes so long, and then the kills that she does are like so.
They're PG-13 kills.
I sprayed you with a hose and you drowned in this.
No. She sprayed her with chemicals.
Okay.
Yeah. She's the
It was a power washer, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
Those things are hard.
It's an incredible home... It sprayed her across the room.
So that's exactly. So now that was a crazy thing that, you know, felt more like a Malignant. But it's like she sprayed her with a hose. Okay. And then pushed a kid down a hill, and then they pet cemeteried him.
They did push him.
He did it to himself.
There you go.
I guess I
killed Mr. Fantastic's son or something, pulling that ear off.
I gotta tell you, that is a crazy scene in this movie, because there is nothing else in this movie that is like that.
And they're running on all fours.
I thought that was great. When she grabs that kid's ear and just starts pulling on it, and to Matt's point,
that's like something out of a Fairley Brothers movie.
He's Reed Richards' kid because he has the elastic skin.
It's just a little weird tonally, whereas like Malignant goes all in. And Malignant,
I will say you're
Malignant
right. Malignant knows
on loss and trauma and stuff. Like I feel like this is Akilah, what's her name? Akilah Cooper she's touching on similar things with these movies, but tonally, Malignant felt more consistent. Even though it's crazy, it seems more consistent. This movie was like more serious, and then there weren't very many exciting kills. But I'm telling you, when they get to that third act, when they get to the reveal, I'm in. Like, I had so much fun in the third act, which that saved it for me. So I just wish there was a little bit more, leading up to that.
I do think that there was an R-rated cut, and they trimmed it back to
for
a
business. That would make more sense. If they have the R-rated cut, if there's more of the crazy kills you're looking for in a killer doll movie, okay.
Or a vagina.
and where they introduce an adult version of the doll, and then
Megan,
then we can
X.
do that. Hey, okay, this is the plot of the Child's Play remake, though, right?
This is kind of, I mean, with the exception of like the losing of the parents,
right?
But it's very close. Basically the same plot as the remake. I was thinking, like, this is the remake that the Child's Play wanted to be.
Yeah,
and I was not a huge fan of that remake at all.
Oh no,
it is not good.
Okay, so plot wise, this movie, Gemma is making Megan in the lab, and they can't get it to work right. And the girl, her niece, comes to stay with her, and in order to bond after not spending any time together, she's like, "Oh, hey, you want to see this other Bob that I made in college?" And it's this huge Rock'em Sock'em robot, like we were talking about, Real Steel. And this is what I don't get. Please explain to me in the plot of this movie. Something clicks here. So Bob is a hand-controlled real steel robot, and then Megan is this doll with the computer and the AI and everything that she eventually becomes anyway. And she's like, oh my God, light bulb, after looking at Bob. And then Megan works like a not-Bob robot. Like, please, tell me.
It is a funny moment where she is, you know, she's playing with Bob and
Yeah.
She's playing with the rope.
She's anyway, controlling Bob, like the real steel robot, and pretending to interact. I guess she clicks the idea that, oh, kids will like to interact with it. But, like, I just didn't get the parallel. Like, I couldn't draw the line.
There's a big jump.
It's already what Megan does.
That's right. Megan is the Megan doll that we see. What did Bob
It's not like
have to,
she got the idea to make the Megan yes. doll from that.
I agree. I had the same struggle. I was just like, I don't understand.
She was making Megan, and it exploded because a guy put a thing in it.
He didn't put the thing.
Well, right, he didn't put the limiter or whatever
thinking,
in it.
Oh, they're gonna pull the thing out at the end and blow right. that up. No.
So Megan
fails. You're okay to forget about that.
We better stop working on this project. Which, by the way, Megan exploded, and they didn't make a ton of these. Remember, because she spent $100,000 of company money on a secret project the company didn't ask for.
How does that even happen? That's not a thing that can happen.
Yeah. First of all, how does that happen? Second of all, it exploded. Then she goes home and sees Bob, which somehow brings a light bulb because of what Megan already does. And then there's another Megan and another face they just ordered and showed up that exploded. Now, it just... Why? Why did they do any of that?
First off, I think the robot was called Bruce.
Oh, Bruce.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, good, because battery-operated boyfriend was getting real old.
Yeah.
yeah, that's a valid point, is that the leap to be for her to be... you know, working with Bruce, and then all of a sudden the light bulb to be like, oh.
I'll just tell you right now, we're working on Megan. We just can't get it to work, maybe because they're not playing with a real child. The niece comes to stay with her. Wait a minute. Let's try it with her. She bonds with it. Boom, we have Megan. Like,
and she's off to the races.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. I'm getting in the weeds.
Yeah.
I guess, like, why didn't she worked overnight. Let's say 5 hours or something.
Give or take.
Was she just putting that off? Like, if she could just sit down and finish it up.
Oh, well, no, wasn't she? She was trying to make, like, the cheaper version of the Furby. Like, that's what she was trying to do.
Yeah, but
that
after,
I thought was funny, that they had
after,
knockout Furbies.
Yeah.
The kid says, this would be a cool toy. And she goes, like, oh, you're right.
Oh,
She gets back on the computer and she's like, little montage of
like tick 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 tick.
Now I finished it.
Oh, and then she's okay. And get this. So remember, her boss is like about to fire her after she's embezzled $100,000 to work on her project.
Right.
And then says, "You better get this project." Light bulb, Bruce. Oh, sorry, we're gonna have to put off this presentation.
Oh, I could just email
an option.
I could just say, "Nah, not gonna do it."
The guy's about to fire her, and just found out she stole money, and then she literally has this idea and just tells him no.
And then they trick him. Nothing wrong.
Then they trick him into the whole like present. They're gonna put on this presentation.
But they can't delay it. There's no option to delay it. And then she says, "We have to delay it."
He's like, "Okay."
He's supposed to be like her jerk boss, but. He's totally warranted in all of his...
And he has no authority. Yeah. Like, he just doesn't ever punish her. Like, you can't do that. Like, I don't know.
I do like... There's a scene where he's trying to get into her lab, and even his key card's not working. I think this scene is very funny, where he just keeps trying the card, and he's like, it won't work, and then she has to let him in. But it's like, you're the CEO of this company. How does... You should have a master key.
Yeah, I think the writing leading again the writing's a little messy leading up to where the doll starts a killing, and so I think that's the biggest detriment to this story. Is all this stuff is just kind of like whatever, come on. And I think most people are probably like me, like get to the killer doll. You know, that's kind of what we're here
so
for.
I don't disagree with you. I think for me at least it was I've seen the killer doll. Like once you get to Bride of Chucky, brother. There's not much left that you're going to show me that I haven't seen. If it's Method Man spilling his guts all over a chair, I'm good. So
two
like,
dolls have sex, have a trans child doll baby.
Then maybe we'll have something to talk about.
They do that. That happens.
You're right. That is a crazy part of that movie.
And there's not. Yeah, you're right. There's not really anywhere else to go.
So I think, you know, watching Katie try to. when Gemma starts to take away Megan because she realizes that something is kind of wrong, and the therapist is talking about how usually after a tragedy, right, like the child that survives the tragedy starts to bond with the first thing or person that technically it should normally a person, but in this case, Gemma is so emotionally unavailable that Katie starts to bond with Megan. And so I do kind of find that interesting.
Yeah, it definitely. I mean, this is a total commentary on technology. And for all the Gen Z people, they're marketing. This is you being on your phone and TikTok and social media, and you're not interacting with other humans. This is this is Gemma so wrapped up in her technology, she can't have a relationship with her own niece who has just had this tragedy, and her sister is dead. And now we have the niece, a young, impressionable child, who, remember, her parents limited screen time. She didn't have, Katie didn't have the interaction with screen time. Then all of a sudden she gets unlimited screen time from her aunt and 24/7 access to technology with Megan. And she becomes so attached to it that she starts lashing out. She punches her. She slaps
She takes a shot at Gemma, which I was like, oh, dang.
And she was a perfectly, I mean, she's dealing with some stuff, but she was a perfectly nice little girl before.
I don't know about that. She was pretty snotty in that car and in her opening scene before the car crash.
Did she say something?
She just her general dude.
Like, yeah, I mean, the fact that she like picked up the thing
when they told
her
to turn
off.
It down, and she's like, "I did turn it down," and she hadn't turned it down.
So, and
I've had this conversation.
I was going to say, I think I had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
But she hit Gemma. I just mean that
she certainly ramps up, but they didn't. They didn't take a Laura Ingalls Wilder and turn her into some crazy kid, you know, like,
right,
I think
right,
she was
right,
already
right.
headed down that road.
Okay, maybe she was snotty, but the point is that withdrawing from the technology, she's yelling at people and she's throwing things. I mean, she is lashing out, and she actually hits her aunt. Like, that is a step where, I mean, no matter how bratty your kid is, you don't usually hit the parent. So,
but I will say though, when so Gemma finally, she's got to get this kid back into school, and apparently the mom homeschooled her, which is always a red flag. No offense to anybody that was homeschooled.
Well, it is offensive, so
it was, but it, yeah, all right. she takes her to like the alternative school, and I find the interaction between the mom and Gemma, like working the sandwich table, I thought was hilarious. Where the mom's like, "Oh, maybe he's just a little my god!"
Little
I was
angel.
Like, "Oh god, your kid's an asshole." Like, I know all kinds of parents who are like
the
that.
The teacher at this school is the hidden treasure. I thought the teacher was great.
Her her face was hilarious staring at Megan. She was back there like, and I. What my guess is, I mean, I don't know if Megan was really in the car or if she had to pretend or what, but I'm like, she is going all in on that stare in the back seat.
Well, I think I don't. That's an interesting. I was going to actually ask that question. So there is an actress who's listed as, well, there's the voice of Megan, which is Jenna Davis, and then Amy Donald played the body of Megan, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it's a real little girl, and they just, I guess, CG'd the face.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, was she wearing a mask, or was that actually just like CG'd her face?
It looks pretty close to the head. I saw some behind the scenes pictures, and then they just CG all the
weird stuff, like the non-human
stuff.
It's
like a filter. It looks like an Instagram filter, right? Like, that's what people...
If that's the case, that's even more subversive. It's supposed to be an Instagram filter.
Well, I wish there was a part where Gemma goes, she's just not quite scary enough. Can we make her face look a little scarier?
That's always the thing with killer doll movies, though, right? Like, no one really wants Chucky. I will also say,
in fairness, how many creepy dolls have you seen in real life? There's a lot of them.
I will also say about Chucky is, I mean, he is eerily reminiscent of My Buddy.
Yeah, and, for sure. That's what he was based on.
Right.
There were so many My Buddy dolls that were around anyway that, you know, like I had a Teddy Ruxpin, which in retrospect is terrifying.
Okay, we're making this. It's a doll that's supposed to interact with modern kids. So we'll just put her in like a cool T-shirt. No.
We're gonna make her look like Esther from the Orphan.
Right.
It's insane. And maybe this is supposed to be part of the thing, but like, I think it's funny how she, Megan's in this like fancy black pea coat, you know. And then she's got,
to dress her out in the car. Yeah. They have to take her in the fancy coat. Yeah.
They got Niece and, you know, some goodwill find or something.
Kevin, can you turn on screen sharing for me?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, this is going to be crazy.
I would argue Chucky looks more normal than a My Buddy doll.
I think that's fair.
I mean, more childlike, like more realistic for sure, but there's a cartoonish quality to the My Buddy.
When you look at Chucky, like without a knife in his hand, which is true of all children. When you look at Chucky without being like having the crazy, I'm about to kill you face.
That's true. Just, I'm the doll of him as Chucky. Like I can't get the,
But if you look at this, the picture of how he looked in the box, he does not look, I mean, it clearly doesn't look like the same doll, but in terms of
it's
creepiness,
pretty close.
He doesn't look appreciably different. And I remember when the movie came out, you know, my first thought was like, oh, this is a parody of My Buddy. Like, that was
right.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah. I do like that the title of that article is pretty hilarious. The downfall of My Buddy thanks to a good guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is funny.
Am I right that that's not true? That Child's Play was being written before My Buddy? Am I making things up? Am I being that guy? Am I being the article?
That's what the producers would like you to believe.
Okay.
That sounds like a spin to me.
I'm trying
to
think. So, My Buddies were coming out like that. I remember seeing those ads when I was a kid, like a little kid. It was My Buddy and Kid Sister were the two like big doll. Or you can get a WWF wrestling buddy. I had the Ultimate Warrior. Thank you very much. Megan and Katie have developed this. Well, I guess Katie has developed this pretty intense bond with Megan.
And Megan activates Katie as the primary user, Gemma is the secondary user, and they follow protocols like to protect. So it's very
like RoboCop.
Eerie. Yeah, it's very eerie the way that Megan
or
is.
Or Isaac Asimov, I think, is really
like
weird.
RoboCop. Yeah. I'm totally like, wrong. I'm totally wrong. Child's Play came out 3 years later. What am I talking about?
There you go. I will always protect you. I will not let anyone harm you. And so clearly it's getting into that creepy possessive type territory.
Yeah,
werewolf.
For someone so obsessed with technology, it is weird that they never watched any science fiction movies ever.
We're in 2023. We're not referencing Terminator, RoboCop, anything else that, you know.
Maybe we should put in some protection protocols. I mean,
do you think that maybe the AI would misinterpret that?
No, I don't think so. Why?
No, just protect. Yeah, like you got a boo-boo, put a Band-Aid on it. Of course, that's what they'll do.
Yeah, but, it'll be just like Big Hero 6. It'll be great.
So they can't get the knockoff Furbies out there. So we should just say, like, the boss, they trick him into that presentation, and he sees Megan, and he's like, this is it. This is what we're going to present to the shareholders and everything. Make sure this thing works perfect and make sure I know what to talk about in the big presentation. So, like, meanwhile, Katie and Megan are bonding. Gemma is working on stuff. Her two lab mates are like, this is a little, like, is this ready? This isn't right. Like,
well, we're going with it. We're rolling with it.
And they also start to notice, like, you're not spending any time with your niece. Do you think it's, like, appropriate that the doll is taking all of your parental time away from her?
It's hard to root for Allison Will or Gemma. Even when she has her character turn, it's still just like, you're kind of a bitch. Like, you've got this child.
Well, the way she talks to the neighbor, I mean, she's set up as not...
Well, the neighbor does kind of suck,
not initially.
Not in the beginning. I mean, okay, that's true. Came over, that sucks, right? But, like, you're getting water, keep your water. They wrote her, you're supposed to know she's, again, antisocial. She's obsessed with technology, which obviously doesn't automatically make you bad, but this character is, like, so antisocial, is rude to people, doesn't want any interaction. And so, that interaction with the neighbor is very rude and like, abrasive.
When the neighbor goes, hey, you want to borrow this later? And she's like, no. And I was like, well.
And she's also like, no, I don't want all your chemicals, whatever. You know, and so.
Yeah. So as the story progresses,
they go to the outside school.
No, it's the dog first.
You got the dog first.
Oh, the dog is the first kill.
Yeah, so Katie is shooting a bow and arrow, and an arrow kind of goes into the neighbor's yard through this hole in the fence.
Megan sees it. Terminator.
Yeah, she RoboCops
everything.
And she finds it and reaches under there, and of course the dog attacks Megan and Katie kind of goes after, and the dog ends up biting Katie.
You know, maybe this should have been a plot point. Did you think that maybe the dog broke like an inhibitor?
Yes, that's
chip?
What I thought.
They don't ever address it.
They definitely reference, like, because there's a spark,
a
right?
Spark.
Like,
and then you're either to think, well, Megan's broken now and has to be fixed, right. Or the dog deactivated
it's
whatever the safety.
It's the inhibitor chip from Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, I wonder if they're laying the groundwork for sequels, right? Because there's another major plot point that never
gets circled. Well, the smart home thing. Megan's downloaded into the smart home.
But that's the, like...
There's also another major plot point, which is that guy, the CEO's assistant, steals all the files and sends them to somebody. And I even stayed to the end credits, which I never do, because I was like, are they going to set this up like... what company he gave those to, because like, so theoretically not only is Megan in the AI of the home, was it Elsie, but but Megan's files are also in the hands of some third party that we don't know.
You know who it is? I know it is. Dodson.
Hasbro.
No, Dodson.
Dodson. We've got Dodson. We've got Dodson here.
Yeah. See, what are we talking
about? Nobody
Jurassic
cares.
Park. See, nobody, yeah, nobody cares,
I
clearly.
Don't care. I don't really care.
He did the same thing that Nedry did.
They forgot about him, too.
No one cares about him.
Yeah.
But
I don't care about
the
plot of Jurassic Park. It's just watch dinosaurs chew on stuff. Like,
That's right. That is true, though, Tom. There's the plot point of the grandparents that never comes back into play, with the exception of the therapist. And then Kevin... who was downloading, you know, they say that this other company has kind of beaten them to the
punch.
I thought
his name was Greg.
Oh, I thought it was Kevin. Either, maybe he was sending them
you just assumed it was Kevin because he's kind of a weasel.
Ineffectual
And I know how much he loves the movie Hackers. So I just assumed
this is 100% true.
We find out that what's happening is the reason this other company has been able to manufacture a cheaper Furby, that's what I'm calling it because that's what this thing is because the head guy's assistant has been sending them info, sending them schematics, and he does end up stealing the schematics for Megan and does transfer it to someone else. So to your point, Tom, I think you're right, is like now we've got, not only is Megan downloaded herself into Elsie, but we know that the files to Megan are somewhere else out there.
Someone could be manufacturing the off-brand Megan, which becomes how she gets her body back.
The new one is Megan.
Yes.
Megan. That's what we're looking for. Yeah,
but that's perfect, though. The AI she's downloaded into, and she needs to get her body, and so she works through the technology to go into the new dolls.
See, it is a Child's Play movie.
Yeah.
Like, that is kind of the whole premise of Child's Play, is Chucky is trying to put his soul into poor Andy Bartlett for 3 movies.
Yeah.
And he can't get it done. Yeah, so now, yeah.
Megan kills
the dog.
Because the dog is a harm to Katie. Like, it could attack her.
You're right.
I think it's all in defense of Katie, right? That's what all the killing
is absolutely.
In the name of.
Hey. But that
Kevin's going a long way to defend... killing dogs. That's
I think it's fine. They did it. It's 2023 now. I can't believe they did it with how much people hate that in any type of movie. Like, I get that the bad guy, but it doesn't matter. I guess, like, even in John Wick, the bad guy does it. Like,
right.
I can't believe they did it in this day and age, honestly. Like, that seems like a taboo.
You don't see it.
I know, but you don't see. I mean, I guess you see the dog hurt in John Wick, but I mean, you don't.
You see a blood trail of a puppy dragging himself to his owner's unconscious body. In this one, you're just like, all right, well, there's a sound.
It's off screen, but I still, and I'm sure that was a conscious choice for them, but I don't know. To me, it was just surprising they actually did it.
Sure.
Just knowing the backlash you get, because there's whole websites now dedicated, I think, to, like, does the dog die and stuff.
Oh,
like
really?
That. Yeah.
Is like, it just the dog, or like, man, that bird died. That sucked.
They do other stuff.
They just focus on the cute ones.
I did think maybe she didn't kill the dog, like she was going to have it, which to me kind of would have been...
She was going to ride it into battle.
Right. Or, I don't know, just did something to it, which I thought maybe would have been a good... Because you kind of have Megan go from 0 to 100, right? She's already killing immediately.
Yeah, right, right.
And it kind of does seem like, oh, maybe if she just, like... chained the dog up. So I don't know what she would have done, but
But yeah,
it would have sort of brought you back into it.
Matt's like, I think it would have been better if she had just merely tortured the animal.
Most of the movie would have been that. Like, the rest of it just would have been, I think that would have been cool.
They're just having fun with it.
But it's just that thing. I feel like they do that in movies, and it's kind of a cool, it's a good thing, like, where you go like, oh my gosh, she did it. She killed something. And then they sort of pull it back to where you're like, sense of security again.
So I guess
once
the deal
that
is,
happens, it's like, oh, you're there already. Well,
so Megan is an AI, and this is also obviously the dangers of AI, which people have been talking about for years now. Not just Skynet, but like very real life AI. Like right now, I don't know if you guys have read any of the articles, but there is AI now that the people who developed the AI don't even know why it's doing what it's doing.
That sounds awful.
AI has, like, that doesn't sound like every sci-fi movie from the 80s.
Sure.
So
we don't know what what it's doing. It's too advanced.
It doesn't know. AI is so advanced now that it teaches itself things that people that made it don't even know how to do or why it's doing it.
We're all going to die. All right.
So this is the danger of AI. But once Megan, she's connected to the internet and she's doing research nonstop and tapping into all these things she's learning. It starts off as like, you know, use a coaster, which Gemma has clearly programmed as a nice little wink. But then it's like more protection and why things do what they do. And so Megan's evolved now into this defensive, like, they have a talk about death, right? Like, how are you going to deal with death? And I want to cope. I want Katie to cope with the loss of her parents. So she's reading up, but like, she gets too fixated on death and killing. And that's when she goes off the rails. And I guess she can't pull it back because now Megan has like learned too much to where now her primary focus has changed.
But there is another weird moment. So everything goes down and Gemma basically figures out that Megan is bad news.
The outdoor school. So after the dog, she goes to outdoor school, right. And then she starts chasing the like you said, the mom, my sweet
jerk kid.
And he gives the PG-13 F word. There, you know?
So, okay, to Tom's point, he was going to fuck that doll, right?
When he took off the shoe, it first looked like that, but then he just started hitting it. So I don't.
Hey, man.
I think that was reshoots.
That was the PG-13. Okay.
Because there was this, even a shot
there's
where
a
he
moment.
Was on top of her.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
It
and then he
certainly,
smacks her. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's quote, not what was happening, but you are intended to take that vibe.
Oh, sure.
But there's there is no reason whatsoever he would take the shoe off randomly. You're 100% right. There is a rated R version. He takes the shoe off, so like that. It made no sense.
If the censors asked the filmmakers, they would go, "What?
Yeah,
what is wrong with you?
I just this is a weird shoe.
I'm sorry, MPAA, but you're the problem.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're
not
thinking
me.
That, you're the one.
Totally. Yeah. No,
this says more about you, Jack Valenti, than it does about us, who I think has been dead for 10 years.
Yeah, but, I was like, I don't think he's in charge of that anymore. But all right,
he's gonna do whatever.
Remember when the right wing went crazy about The Revenant because they were convinced that the bear was raping Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes,
and
I do.
Just killing Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and now in a couple months we're gonna have a movie called Cocaine Bear.
Right,
it's a bear that gets high off cocaine and just starts murdering people.
There are some in that crew that really like cocaine.
That,
so
I think there's more than some. I think there's all.
Maybe
all
right. We're not so different.
So
good to find common ground.
So Megan shows up all creepy and he's like, you know, the little girl shows up, right, and sees like, what are you doing?
No, Megan's like off in the distance and she like
he pushes a
he no she grabs she grabs his while he's on top of her he she grabs
oh,
his
so
ear.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. The guy is picking on Katie and Megan shows up real creepy and then you think maybe she's gonna kill him, but no, he's like grabs her, runs off with her, then does all the creepy stuff, and then she stops him, like pulls his ear off. Does the stretch Armstrong.
Why do they make these things so strong?
Right. Why would a little girl learning doll even be able to do
what is the grip?
There's
strength?
No reason to punch through a brick wall. There's no need for that.
I 100% agree and was thinking during this, like, why did the mechanics do that?
Why do we make him out of titanium?
Yeah.
When I can't even break the exoskeleton.
She's bulletproof, remember? She sang
She definitely sang that song. Yeah. That
it is funny too, like I understand this is a very like Ant-Man thing. Like the kid can pick her up and run with her just fine, But then other times,
like, wouldn't she be heavy as
shit?
Well, not. Is it titanium is the light one? Light, but
I don't know. It's just tungsten, that, like, other times people are fighting her, and it's like, well, you should just be able to, like, knock a shelf. I mean, she's very light. Sometimes. I don't know.
Well, that's always the trouble with the killer doll things, though, right? Like, the toys that come to life and all that. It's like if you can get to it, it's little. It's not strong. It's
right.
You know,
yeah, if I lose my life to choking you, I quit.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I got another. I'm sorry. This one's dumb. I get that it's a joke, so it, like, doesn't matter. But I thought it was really interesting that it's the commercial for Megan or whatever, and they're like, she'll tell your kid to flush the toilet, and then they go, and she'll never lose patience, and then they have her go, seriously, Katie,
why does the little girl pee with the door wide open all the time?
She's a monster.
I don't know, but that was one of the moments that I laughed out loud, and nobody else laughed in the theater. And I was like, this is crazy, because that is a hilarious scene where they say she'll never lose patience. And then as soon as she walks out of the bathroom, Megan is just like stone face. And she's like, seriously?
Clearly losing patience.
Yeah. Clearly. Yes. Right, right, right.
I just thought it was weird that the door was wide open. Why is the little girl going to the bathroom twice in two different scenes with the door wide open so Megan could be standing there watching her?
Also weird.
It's just weird. That's a weird
thing.
That's
fair.
So the camera can see it happening, but like, I don't. Yeah.
Real quick, titanium is lightweight.
There it is.
But it's also not very strong. So it sounds like it would be strong, but it is not strong. And they say that it is typically blended with other metals to make it strong.
It's an amalgam.
Okay.
And that is from energy.gov.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Government would never lie to us.
Hold on. There was a whole poem written about this. I'm bulletproof.
Nope.
Nothing to lose. Uh-huh. Titanium. Bulletproof. Titanium. It's supposed to be really strong and bulletproof.
Yeah.
But apparently not. I guess that gal doesn't know what the fuck she's singing about. She chases the kid. The kid falls down a hill, and then like Kevin said, they pet cemetery to where he gets hit by a truck. There is a moment
nothing
where
but
I was
the
like,
shoe left I know, on the road
where the truck is coming. I was like, oh well, it's gonna stop. Oh nope, it's not stopping. It
two.
Does not stop.
Oh, also, did anyone else find it weird for a snowplow death to be the catalyst of this whole film?
I thought the weirder thing tying into current events is the post-credit scene is where it takes her 15 ballots to get elected Speaker of the House.
But that could be a coincidence. You think James Wan is trying to take down the MCU so the Gabrielverse can soar?
I think they started working on this movie before that, though, like my buddy.
Like James Wan is a
DC
guy.
That's actually not true, Tom. That's actually a misconception.
I heard it on a very reputable podcast, I'm going to have to disagree.
Okay.
So all this stuff goes down. They're working on Megan. It's all leading up to this meeting.
They do the meeting, and then it gets the big approval because Katie breaks down in this meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's also just like, God, you are prophetizing on this whole... Is that a word? Prophetizing?
Profiteering?
Profiteering. Profiteering on this whole child's... that whose parents died... A week ago?
I know,
it's crazy. Maybe.
two months is the longest. At some point, they say 2 months ago.
Well, do they?
Well, you know it's horrible.
That's true, because the scars are off her face. So
that's
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But here's
fair,
the deal,
fair.
Though. But like, Katie gets attacked by that dog, and then she has a fever, and then Gemma's like, well, we got that presentation. Like, clearly you're not supposed right. to be on Gemma's side. You're like, she's an awful parent.
No,
an
sure,
awful
sure, sure.
Guardian.
Oh, that was another example, too, of this movie just sort of, like, condensing everything. She gets bit by a dog and then has a fever immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
And, you know, I guess
there's
at some
no
point
time
you just
to incubate.
Gotta go, okay, right. I guess I don't want to watch two more days happen before she gets the fever.
Right,
so,
right, right.
Sure.
So everything is going fine with, well, not fine because Megan just killed two people.
Well, it's leading up to the big
she ends up killing Celia. Celia the is neighbor, the woman whose dog it was, and then she sprays her with the chemicals. Again, a death that's off screen, but it's just like, okay, so we got buckets of blood running into the drain. Got it.
I figured those were chemicals. I didn't think it was blood.
Oh, I thought it was blood.
Think those were the poison that she was face down in the poison.
I couldn't tell.
Drowning
sure, sure, sure.
I did think if it cut back, we would have seen her face like melting.
Yes. That's exactly
from the
right.
poison or something, like, or like acid or something.
Yeah.
They're running with this launch. They have another sit down with the therapist, and this is where Gemma, I guess, finally decides to be a normal person with feelings.
Well, but you got to remember, too, that Gemma has started to be suspicious because weird things are going down. The neighbors reported dead. The police come about the dog incident, and then the dog's missing.
Both those cops are chef's kiss.
Yeah, that cop was great coming to the door. He was really good.
But and, but I also like the detective.
Detective. Such a character for one scene.
Oh, we've interviewed you twice in the past week.
He's like, she's like, but that other kid was an accident. He's like, yeah, we found a chunk of his ear over in the thing. So we're going to rule it as a homicide.
Weird,
yeah. Chomping away.
Yeah.
That guy's like, I got 2 minutes to make an impression. I better do it.
There are no small parts.
No, yeah, that's right.
Only small actors.
Exactly.
That's right. And so he was no small actor.
So then the neighbor's dead. So clearly Gemma's starting to think something's weird here. And then so she actually tries to access the security footage. Like Megan's supposed to, they can go back and review everything that she's seen and then uploads to the cloud.
And this was a part where I'm like, you never did this?
You never did before?
You're not doing this.
I also
this
feel
constantly?
Like this was a moment.
Yeah, aren't you doing research? Like
sort of topical. Did you ever see that clip of Chris D'Elia when they drop the bomb that sometimes Snapchats can be recorded? Mm-hmm. And he's like, "What? What do you mean?"
Yeah, he's like on a podcast,
You can screenshot it, and you can see the look, like the color drain from his face when they figure that it's a bonkers clip. If you don't know anything about Chris D'Elia, just Google it. It'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure that will
never
come around to bite him. And
no, well, it did. So it is funny that there's a moment where they're going back and they're like, "You're just now thinking to go look at Megan's backup footage when you could have when this kid died when Megan was right there or the dog disappears," and you're like,
Right, exactly. But so she's blocked it. She's not backing up to the cloud anymore. And then,
I mean, I'm sorry, Kev. Why wouldn't she have said to the cops, "The doll was there. It records everything. If you guys want to take a look at it,
it's a dash cam."
I mean, at that point, she wouldn't have thought anything bad, or maybe she did. But
this is
okay. In defense, she doesn't want anyone in public to see the doll because she's
that's
got
true.
Like she didn't. She was trying to keep it under wraps at the outdoor
died.
School.
But when people are dying, though, and she's already suspicious, like things are a little weird. Like she should look at the footage.
She does.
Kevin, my response to that: corporate America,
which is on display here.
There you go.
Yeah, they go. They're going to start this launch. They're going to have this big launch. They're rolling out with Megan. Katie and the therapist have another session, and this is supposed to be the character turn where Gemma finally sits down. This is the scene that you were talking about, Kevin, where Katie smacks Gemma across the face, and even Katie at that moment was like, "Whoa!"
Picks up a pair of scissors.
She does pick up a pair of scissors.
The reason why she's so frustrated is now Gemma has saran wrapped Megan. Like she had this confrontation with her about the recordings and everything, and she took her away. And she's like, "I can't. We got to launch this thing, and like it's not safe to be around you." And so Katie's basically going through withdrawal.
Yeah,
and she's so frustrated at that she lashes out. And then after she does it, she like apologizes. "I'm so sorry. I just need to see her for a few minutes." Like she's doing that withdrawal.
It's like it's a drug. It's very much like a person. Like which, I can do one. I can do just one.
Which is technology, right? Which people talk about addiction, right? It's not just the substances. Sure. It's technology and how society has such an addiction with it. And if you take it away, like you feel like you need it, can I just look at it? So clearly a commentary on that. And what the whole movie is with her becoming more and more obsessed with Megan. But that's the reason for the lash out is she took her away.
Right. And then so they decide, Gemma finally decides to basically bail on the project on the lawn. She takes Katie home.
Megan
need the work. I don't know. Megan has
doesn't
now
tell
interfaced.
Her boss again. Just well, takes the, off.
Oh yeah,
he's just running up, Megan leaves. Give him a heads
the
up.
Phone. The two people who are I think it's Tess and Cole who are the two like buddies or coworkers. I guess they leave Megan attached to the Wi-Fi, I guess, in the lab, and Megan
she's
breaks.
Ethernet.
Okay, that's right. She's plugged in.
And they got her plugged in to work on her before the big launch. And then this is when Gemma says, pull the plug. Like, this is dangerous. And her assistant or whatever is like, thank God, finally. She's been trying to tell her the whole time this isn't ready.
And they can't. So in a scene, again, a very PG-13 scene where Megan breaks free and she does not kill either. Well, we don't think she does. But then she pokes a hole in like a flammable gas.
Well, she hangs
propane
the guy
tank.
First.
Yeah, but she takes cut him down, right? They right. cut him down.
She hangs him, but yeah, she saws the wire off right. and is able to get him down. But yeah, the place explodes when she.
But it doesn't kinda. Explode.
I mean,
like
if you
watch that, that's a very contained explosion that doesn't come anywhere near.
No, they're safe. Like it explodes, but like it's just like a puff of like.
I think it's
bursts.
Supposed to knock him out, but it doesn't even look like it would yeah. do that.
Whereas
it's
crazy. I feel like we're supposed to be led to believe that they're dead, and then right. when they show up at the end, you're like, they're alive.
I
that's
don't think
the callback.
If you're watching the scene, it clearly they don't get
yeah,
touched by that.
But
explosion.
The way they pull up, I think it's crazy in this movie that nobody good dies. Like none of the heroes are.
Oh sure,
or, you
sure,
know
sure.
What I mean, like
you would think that like Gemma. Gemma's the one that needs to die, right? Like, she has the character turn. She would be the one that were, granted, that would leave Katie alone again to go live with her weird grandparents.
I think you kill the lab assistants.
Oh, right. sure.
They're for an emotional, like, oh, yeah. the stakes are, but they don't do it.
Who do they kill in Child's Play? Oh, it's the baby's, it's the mom's best friend.
In the
they throw her out the window. That's right.
But you're right, though. Like, for all of Gemma's trying to keep doing this, even though she knows it's dangerous and all the trouble she got the innocents into, she should have to deal with some blood on her hands of the friends. But you're right. It never really happens.
I mean, she does kind of, right? Like, everybody that does die in this movie is because of Gemma.
She's going to prison.
Right.
Well, without a doubt.
Learn anything from movies. I mean, she's the Rock and Rampage. I always go back to it's like.
I don't think she is, though. I feel like they're.
What?
Just. Well, the only reason I'm saying.
Well, the
that,
Rock and Rampage is clearly supposed to be the hero we root for. I don't know that we're supposed to hate Gemma, but I don't think we're supposed to think that she's the hero either.
But I feel like they do set up the boss and Kurt. That guy's name is Kurt. As, like,
okay,
the
not
Fall
Kevin,
guys.
Not Greg
Kevin,
or Kevin.
Not Kevin. No, not yeah. neither one of those.
Maybe.
Megan gets free in the complex. She ends up doing the weird dance that has been all over the internet.
Yes.
She breaks so cool. off a paper cutter, which I don't even think I would in an office like this. I don't feel like this paper cutter would be there
in a hallway, like
in
with
a hallway
printer,
office next to a next to a copier. I don't think that this old school paper cutter would be there.
If it's going to be anywhere, it would be. Next
I guess
to a
that's
copier.
True.
I mean,
that's
that is...
fair. Megan ends up killing David. She chops him up, stabs him in the back, and then the elevator opens up, and Kurt is there, and Megan lays it all out. She basically knows
that's
everything.
That's a great sequence when the assistant is like, hey, I want you to act so surprised, get off your phones, you need to be excited, and they look over the elevator,
and there's
opens,
two dead bodies.
And they're surprised. That's a really good scene. Everything that goes down at this part I thought was fun and I was into it. I'm like, yeah, this is the movie.
But so, the bummer being right that you wanted and for it, like you wanted a bloodbath. She kills two people.
And that's the only blood you get in this movie too.
But I mean,
and it's minimal.
I think that there's a rated R version of this that could even be more fun. But if more of the movie was like Megan going crazy at the presentation, I think that, like, because even when she's with the lab assistants, I know they make it out, but like, there is a rated R version of that. There's a version where, in my head, right? Like, where guy, she hangs him and he dies, and the other girl gets exploded or caught
gets
on fire
out.
Or something. And there's a lot of excitement as far as a horror movie with these kills.
I feel like there is a version where they're really dead. Because when Matt was talking earlier about how he wished they had done the thing with the dog where you think they're dead and then they walk it back, I feel like they do that with the two assistants because they show up at the house with the cop car because the cops would bring them to the house.
Like, the guy was just hung. He should be seeking medical treatment.
Well, he gets out with an oxygen mask.
Right. They don't drive him to the someone else's house. He'd be at the hospital.
Right. And I bet, I bet if you watch how it's shot, that's a separate, you know, like, are they in a scene? I mean, it could be a reshoot, but whatever. But you're right. You want a version where she pulls that cable so hard his head pops off.
Right. That's the movie you think you're watching. And again, I think that's the rated R version that we're thinking of here.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So Megan gets back to Gemma's house. There's a pretty contained fight sequence between everybody.
It sounds like you're fighting.
Oh my god! Yeah, go back to bed, Katie.
That whole part. That was absolutely ridiculous.
I agree. I did not like that part where she's like, "Can I just come out and see her?" No, I don't want you to see me like this.
Is her room soundproof? Because once she closes the door, they instantly start destroying things. I think maybe Katie should check on them again just to be safe. It's so stupid.
And it's not like they're yelling. You know, when they're saying, oh, just go back to bed. And yeah, she closes the door and then they go.
And they start.
All right, Jimmy, here's the deal.
Right. It's like, oh, my God.
I can't hear that.
So they end up getting into Gemma's workshop. Megan kind of has Gemma dead to rights. All of a sudden, Megan gets cracked by Bruce.
What happens to make Megan go crazy?
So here's the thing. Megan has another line here. Where she says, like, it was you talking to Gemma. It was you and me. You were my best friend. Like, we were always together. We talked all the time. Yeah. And I was like, okay, wait. And then look, don't get me wrong. I had a great time with this movie. I think it was fun. I think it was funny. I think the Megan looked like it was a very well done, creepy robot doll. Mm-hmm. But there are beats. So I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, am I supposed to interpret that Megan made that the same attachment that Katie made to Megan made to Gemma, and now like
while she was being built,
she just means developing her. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
that's how I took it.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, because she said we talked about Jane Austen novels or something.
Yeah, when she developed her and was working on it, like she was.
So now Megan is doing this because she's mad at Gemma.
I don't think she's mad at her. She started off learning all the AI learning and research on defense, and then she goes into learning about death and killing.
But then why give the whole speech about how you were my best friend and we spent all this time together?
Because she doesn't want her to kill her or whatever. She's trying to, like, reason with her at the end.
Okay.
But
she's not doing this because of her. She's just like, it's that showdown. You were my whatever. You were the chosen one. It's you know, it's like they're just...
Oh, okay, Star Wars. Now I get it. Now I do get it.
That's what we had to do.
Put it in something I can understand. Yeah. I do feel like, right, there's something missing. Not necessarily that it has to be there. I mean, I think it's fine. It's just that it was faulty programming in the AI. Or she talks about, like, you put an AI in me that you didn't even understand or whatever.
Right.
But it's a movie, so it does feel like something should have happened, and it doesn't. Like, there's no, like, catalyst that, like, this is what makes her go crazy.
Oh, sure.
I think it's her defense of that dog attack. That's what I think it is.
I get that we are to take it as she's protecting Katie and she just went overboard.
Yeah.
But normally in a movie, and I think you need it sort of in a movie, would be, yeah, the dog attack.
It's the inhibitor chip thing. It has to be.
Right.
I don't know why they scrapped that, because they show it, and I don't think if she sparked, that spark should mean either she's broken or something got tampered with, and they never address it. So it doesn't make sense to show a spark like that if it didn't. If all the spark meant was impact, oh, the dog chomped.
Right.
But literally, like, okay, electronics. They have batteries and all this, and there's electricity flowing through them. A spark comes when something is damaged, right?
Yes.
Like,
right.
That spark, you just have a spark and go back to normal like that.
Can Megan not get wet? She hits her with that glass of water,
and
it really messes her up.
Prime electronics.
That's a good point, though.
You're going to sell
titanium,
this $10,000 toy to children and it can't get a glass of water spilled on its head?
Yeah. My kid to this day, at 6 years old, can't not spill something.
Well,
it's all the time.
Don't even ask what happens with the $20,000 toy.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets spilled. It gets spilled on, all right.
So I mean, I'm trying to remember, when does she get the water, though? Isn't her skin kind of pulled off at that point?
No,
it's the very end of the movie.
No. It's the first thing that Gemma hits her
with.
She's
choking her on the table in the kitchen.
It's the very first thing, and then she runs away and gets into the workstation. It freezes her up.
She has to pry. Megan gets frozen. She pries the fingers off of her.
That's right. Megan has her,
when,
like,
Katie's having
bent
her lullaby,
over the table.
That really quiet moment when she's smashing the glass on the head and she doesn't come out.
That line, "it sounds like you're fighting," is so funny to me. Like, what?
So there's a fight scene. Katie ends up showing back up with Bruce, and she rips
I guess she
Megan
keeps the
in
gloves
half.
In her room.
Right. She just she has those at her disposal.
Pulls her hair out.
Yeah, right.
So
oh,
she can look
right.
real creepy.
Super creepy. But she's also got like the, you know, the kind of the Chucky damage, but it's metal underneath and not visceral.
Yeah, she cuts her with a hedge trimmer.
A hedge trimmer, yeah.
But she would know wouldn't work. She would, she built also, the doll. Why would she?
It needs to be, if it's not gas powered, it needs to be plugged in. And there was no cord.
It could be battery powered.
I guess that's true.
It's battery powered.
Yeah, I
all
guess
sorts
that's
of
fair.
Leaf blowers, hedge trimmers,
she
weed whippers.
It.
Chainsaws. What'd you say?
Gemma built it. It's special.
it's an AI.
She programmed it so that it would learn how to.
The three in hedge trimmer is spelt, or it was, the E is spelt with a three.
That makes sense. That tracks.
You can see the logo.
Right.
The first two they had decommissioned because they were murdering people. Yeah.
This happens to Gemma all the time.
Yeah. She is absolutely on the FBI's most wanted list at this point. Yeah, they destroy Megan. The cops show up, and then everybody walks out like everybody's cool with it.
Well, it's a movie where you can't have any like falling action because it absolutely would be, Jimmy, you're going to prison. You killed a bunch of people. You're very responsible for this.
Your technology just murdered people. And then the last scene is Elsie kind of turning on and turning her head, and you're led to assume that Megan has downloaded herself into the home's AI. And that's how this ends. I enjoyed this more than Malignant, but
he's not wrong. He's correct.
Thank you. But it is, I would say that these would make a really good 1-2 like companion pieces with each other because they are very similar in tone.
That's the problem. Sometimes, see, right? Like Matt, that you guys sound like you're fighting. That's a really funny line in Malignant because Malignant has that absurdist, wacky tone, right? It doesn't fit because this movie's like serious dealing with trauma sometimes, and then sometimes it's goofy stuff like that or ear pulling, right? This had Malignant elements where I was looking for Malignant, not, you know, part of it.
Right.
I think, okay. First of all, let me just say, I agree with everyone. But I think Megan is technically, on paper, a better movie. But I don't ever care to like see this again. I don't think it's very good. I mean, it's like whatever. I enjoyed watching it. It will fade from my memory immediately. Malignant, I would watch that again with a group of people.
Oh my God. Or a theater, right? Show at the theater?
I will give you that. Malignant is a pretty great like party movie.
It's fun.
Right.
It's so
fun. And this to me
I will concede that, yes.
This is good enough to be like a mediocre movie that is almost in some ways worse than being a bad movie.
I just think tonally it was a little awkward in the writing. Like we said, we're picking apart things, which, yeah, in a horror movie especially, like you don't always need explanations for stuff, but it just doesn't jive with its own rules sometimes or logic to where it's a little bit, it takes you out of it a little bit. So,
yeah. And Malignant is flawless airtight. So well, you can see exactly where that would be.
They establish it. They set up these rules. They play by them. Perfect.
I went in expecting very little and was reasonably entertained. And so, like, that's, you know, it exceeded my expectations, which were very low.
Yeah, I saw just kind of the tomato meter or whatever, tried to not read any reviews, but saw that it was getting favorable reviews. I thought this was going to be like a Smile level. You think it's going to be bad, and then, hey, that was actually pretty
smile.
Good.
Smile was pretty fantastic. It didn't get
anywhere near that for
this
me.
This has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes out of 161, like 94. More than
I mean, I get it, though. It's not bad.
There's no gradient, though, to rate Rotten
Tomatoes. No, totally.
Right?
This could be a lot of C pluses average.
Right. But also, I think it's with the critics, it's like I think most critics went in with very low expectations. Yeah. I think critics know January can be a dumping ground for films.
For sure.
And so
anytime
you get something in January that isn't just complete dog crap, you're just like, oh, okay.
That works. I can get behind that.
You have to look at it this way. So Rotten Tomatoes, a C or higher, is fresh. This movie, guess what the average is?
A
out
C?
Of 161. 7.2. So yeah, it's 0.2 right. over the threshold. Right. So it's 94% fresh with 7.2, meaning if 94% of people said 6.9, or you know what I mean, like it would be right. rotten. So it's right on the. But you're right, pass fail wise, like it's entertaining enough where it exceeded their expectations.
Yeah,
they had fun. That third act, I'm telling you, once they got to the place, like I was in, I was eating my popcorn, I'm having a good time. To me, at least,
it's a lot of popcorn restraint, Kevin. That you still have popcorn
just
left.
A little bit, just
an hour into this movie.
I know, trying to make it savor it.
When you see a bad movie, do you not touch the popcorn?
Yeah. I'm not eating this.
It's a and large.
Now we need to drill down on this. Isn't your soda flat by then, though? Like now your soda's all watered down and room temperature.
I actually don't like to drink with eating. I like to eat first and then drink.
I tend to do the same thing. And so, like, yeah, so if you're not eating your popcorn until an hour into the movie, now your soda is completely watered down.
No, I can't.
You a no ice guy? Is that what's going on? You know ice?
I don't do ice, actually. But
because cool. You're cheap or you don't like ice? You want more soda?
Please take the ice off my bill, please.
Well, but you get more soda. But you get more soda.
But you do get more soda.
Yeah, it's right. Like, yeah, so it's efficient. Yeah.
That's you're how filling yourself get you now, though.
I was by myself for the screening, so I had a large popcorn. I was just eating it throughout the whole thing.
So you're a glutton. Go on.
Wow.
Large popcorn for one human being. That's
a large soda.
If you know me, I buy the $5, the buckets that you can refill for $5.
Oh, that's right. We established you were cheap because of the no ice. Go on.
And also glutton. What he didn't say is that he had gone through 4 tubs of popcorn.
Now, wait a minute. All this is because I made a comment. I was eating popcorn during the third act and enjoying it. What is happening here?
Yeah.
Sorry. Forget I said anything. I was watching this. I wish I had popcorn, but I didn't. It was very fun.
Now, Kevin, you're saying next
you
movie.
Didn't get popcorn? You're so cheap that you didn't even buy popcorn?
This is the thing. I was very thirsty, but I ran out of soda. I put so much ice in the cup.
Rookie mistake.
The next time this comes up, he's going to be, I waited to eat my celery until...
So yeah, I think this is I'm always a big proponent of going to the theater. Maybe not for this one. You don't need to see this one in the theater.
It was okay,
but it is worth a watch.
Yeah, it was okay. My audience ended up with 2 other people in the theater, and they gave a couple laughs, a couple times. But but it's weird too, though. I saw it during the day to get it in.
Yeah.
So a horror movie at the theater with 2 people during the day just doesn't hit the same. So I get that.
Yeah.
Nope, that's true.
Matt, how was your crowd? You saw it at night on a Saturday night. What was the...
Look, I know I'm not supposed to say I hate the theater. I know I'm supposed to be a movie guy. I'm supposed to be like, get out there. Everybody save the theater.
Are you saying the Gen Z crowd was there?
Oh, they were there. And there's someone way down in front on their phone the whole time.
100% right.
Just scrolling and scrolling. And I'm thinking, what? Why are you here? Why did you do this? Like, fine that you're on your phone. Look, I get it. You're bored. You're just scrolling. Why did you pay $15 to do that and then interrupt everybody's thing?
It's a legit question.
And then a girl behind us took a phone call.
Oh.
And it seemed to be...
It was
upsetting.
Important, though, right? Like a family member had passed away.
Maybe she was calling the one who was scrolling and being like,
hey man, you
cut
gotta
that
get
out.
Off your phone.
I can see that from up here.
Yeah.
But it was just a very, like, I mean, no whispering, just a full volume.
Yeah.
Well, no, I told her. but I did.
But can I tell you, that is why I go to the movie theater in the middle of the day, though.
Typically,
that's
I would
legit.
Do.
That's
I
the,
don't.
Like, I just can't. Katie worked on Friday, and I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to see the movie tomorrow during the day. I'm sorry, but like, I'll try to go early. We get the rest of the day together. She goes, oh, no, you can go after I get off work. I go, oh, no, thank you.
No.
A horror movie Friday night that it opens? No, thank you.
A PG-13 horror movie. Yeah.
Kevin, the proper response there is, no, honey, I love you so much. I want to spend time with you.
Yeah, you're like,
like,
no.
That's what you're supposed
also
to say.
Had,
but
when
the next day, I will be going and not spending time, though. It was the same.
But Friday, it's Friday night, honey. We need to be together on a Friday night. State night. Let's
I will take note. Thank you.
When Katie slapped Gemma... Someone yells out, get the belt, and everyone's laughing.
Oh,
and I'm like, shut up. I don't care how funny you are.
Did you turn around and go, I have a movie podcast to research for. I'm trying to pay attention.
Well, and you better believe I said the same thing to the manager.
I hope you got
Karen
a
F. Basler.
Yeah,
are,
right.
Are people that scream fake? And I know they're faking. I know they're just trying to be like, everybody look at me. I'm really
hold me closer.
Hate it,
Tony.
Hate it.
Joe does anyway, that with movie boyfriend Brian Spath all the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
Oh, I'm so
he's scared. He's a big jumper.
lots of canoodling.
Lots of canoodling.
Also, yeah. Why they go during the day?
No. Yeah, that's right. Well, there's less.
Bring
people.
A blanket. Yeah. Try to hand stuff.
No, man, we'll just put it all full on
like,
display.
We don't need butter for our popcorn.
No, that's fine.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the virtual table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Matt. I'm in the rotation. Hey, man, honestly, I'm hard to track down, but I'll tell you where I'm always at is the Real Spoilers Patreon. That's my main thing. That's the place to find me. Patreon.com/RealSpoilers.
Now, wait a minute. I know you're being humble and everything. Didn't you just start a little podcast or something? Like, I know we don't usually like to mix that in with this, but like, is there another one that they could find you on?
Oh, Matt F. Basler's podcast? That's just, we put up a couple episodes, dropped it for 8 months. Who knows?
You settled a beef recently. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that was a lie. Yeah, a lie.
Yeah.
He never settles that beef.
Joe, there's a post-credit scene.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to listen until after the song, and then they talk about that. It's, yeah. But now, it's a new year, so you were looking for co-hosts. They can tune in to see if you found your co-hosts or not.
Yeah. We've had a potential co-host trials competition been going on for a little bit, and tune in, see if we finally figured that out.
Perfect. Well, good luck with that. This is Kevin R. Brackett on Twitter. Thanks.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. And, of course, our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, which features even more than Matt. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Theodore writes a letter to Catherine.
Get ready for a spoiler. Say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.